This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show. Sorry about that. Helps if you turn on the microphone, doesn't it? Now, the number of children, by the way, referred to the Irish Probation Service in 2024 reached the highest level in over a decade. The service's annual report shows that 609 referrals for children aged 12 to 17 last year, a 10% rise in 2023, and the highest figure since 2015. Of these, 567 were boys and 42 were girls. There's no surprise. Probation allows offenders to serve their sentence in the community under the supervision of a probation officer rather than in custody. So the rise reflects wider evidence of a marked increase in young offending. Now, earlier this year, Minister for Children Norma Foley dismissed claims that dangerously low staffing levels at Oberstown Children's Detention Campus following an incident back in June in which 9 staff members were injured. In February, the Journal, by the way, reported that judges had been unable to send several alleged young offenders to Oberstown because it was full to capacity. And the Probation Service operating in the Department of Justice works alongside the courts to change offender behaviour, support reintegration into society. They said in a total of 764 new court referrals in 2024 to young people defined as those under the age of 18. Now, what is the solution when we see that we have a problem? Then we talked about transport police a few minutes ago. And the reason we need transport police is because clearly we have a problem. Clearly going on public transport now is more dangerous than it was before. And that's what everybody is saying that was calling in the last hour or so in relation to transport police. So clearly we have a problem when it comes to young people because we're seeing more offences. And by the way, forget about the numbers that the annual report says. They're only the ones that are caught or something is actually done about. Usually when a 15-year-old commits a petty crime or he breaks a window or starts a fight in the middle of the street or attacks somebody, nothing usually happens to them. Nothing at all. The parents just come and collect them from the Garda station. They get a rap on the hands and maybe a JLO. Now, some have suggested fining the parents of these children at a young age and hit them in the pocket. Many people have said ultimately the responsibility lies with parents, but statistically, most of the kids come from socially deprived areas, broken homes, single-parent families, and money wouldn't really be available. Or would it be? Maybe it would hit them even more, actually, because if somebody was on welfare and they didn't have a huge amount of money and you said, well, your kid's just gone around and, say, broken a car window or robbed a car, you're going to get fined £200 and we're bringing you to court. Maybe they'd kind of pay attention and wonder where their child actually is at night. Because I mentioned the other day that I did a report going back many years ago and there was a feud going on up in Talla between two different housing estates. And I was on the Belgard Road and one is Jobstown and one was Fettercairn, I think. And they were throwing rocks at each other across the road. There was a kid about 10 years of age. And there was adults here, by the way, as well. Parents here as well, right, throwing rocks and stuff. But this kid was about 10 and he had a Molotov cocktail in his hand. Now, it wasn't lit, but I could see the milk bottle or bottle of some description with the rag hanging out of it. And I was going around and interview people and I said to the kid, I said, where did you get that? And he dropped it and ran and I could smell the petrol from it. And it was just shocking that kid has parents. Where does parents think he was at 10 o'clock at night in the winter at 10 o'clock at night when he should have been in bed? 10 years of age. Because his parents are clearly thugs. But if you hit them in the pocket, would it make a difference? Some people would say absolutely not, Niall, and it's a bit unfair to do that because some parents are really good parents, but their kids just go astray. Let me know what you think. Would it be fair to financially penalise parents for badly behaved kids? Let me go to Ian O'Doherty, journalist with the Irish Independent. Ian, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? No.
I got into a fluster there for a second. I do apologise. Anyway, Ian, is it a good idea? I mean, look, we've toyed around with this idea for years that you have to make parents responsible for their kids. We've got a problem that there's no spaces in Oberstown, you know, and the problem is just getting worse and worse. So is it time to make adults and parents more responsible for their children?
Absolutely. I mean, but the thing is, people have been saying this for 20 or 30 years. And the danger is nobody wants to sort of start stoking some sort of moral panic on, oh, the kids are going to, you know, they're going mad and blah, 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 blah. Society's gone to hell in a handbasket. The simple fact of the matter is that if you're under the age of criminal responsibility, you can't necessarily be held responsible for your own actions. And that responsibility, therefore, falls on your parents or your guardians.
Yeah, but the age of criminal responsibility is 13, isn't it? But you're not going to go to jail if you're under 18 and you get your slate wiped clean once you're 18 years of age. And generally people speaking, the guards are not going to be too bothered with 15-year-olds because there's too much paperwork involved. So realistically, they just get away with committing crimes.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I honestly do believe that the best way to And you know me, like I'm not a wishy-washy liberal, but I don't like the idea, by and large, of criminalizing kids because they get in with the wrong crowd because they do something stupid. Jesus, we all did something stupid when we were young fools, you know. But I think that the way to try and actually genuinely tackle this is to go in at the parental level. And the thing is, I don't like the idea of the state raising children either, you know. So, I mean, I do believe in parents' rights. But with parents' rights comes equal parents' responsibilities. And like you're saying with that young fella there with the Molotov cocktail and stuff, you know, I mean, those parents should have been up in front of a judge. You know, I'd be kind of going, there's no point in coming down and criminalizing an 11-year-old because basically what you're doing is you're making an apprentice criminal for the future, because when you start putting them into juvenile detention centres and stuff like that, these are like finishing schools for, if you look at all, for example, just if you look at the Dublin gang wars over the last 30 years and stuff, a lot of these lads, even going back as far as Martin Carroll, a lot of these lads knew each other from youth detention centres and stuff, right? So, you know, you get into...
Yeah, you learn more bad stuff in there than you do good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so you run the risk of, when you start criminalizing kids, you run the risk of exposing them to sort of bad people or bad ideas that they wouldn't necessarily have been exposed to. So that's where, I mean, my take, and a lot of social workers say this, a lot of the social workers who aren't kind of, you know, bleeding hearts or whatever, they go after the parents. Because the state, here's the thing, the state cannot raise children. That is the job, and it is the responsibility of the parents.
But we did give the state some responsibility when they voted in the children's referendum a resounding yes, which I voted no. But the general public gave a resounding yes in that referendum, which gave the state a lot more responsibility when it came to raising our children.
Yeah, and we all know that was a mistake. I voted the same way as you did. Ultimately, I mean, the thing about it is, there's a great example of doublethink in official Ireland and in Irish politics, where we kind of go, the family is the central unit in Irish society. But on the other hand, we will sort of, you know, pawn the kids off to the state to let the state do some of the rearing. Ultimately, the responsibility is with the family. And I just think there's a real sort of confusion in the air now about sort of, are these kids, are they just little bowsies who need to be sort of, you know, smacked down on?
I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think a lot of it comes down to society. And I don't want to make this sound sexist, because I genuinely don't mean it to be sexist. But there was a time when mom stayed at home and dad went to work. And, you know, so there was always a parent there. Do you know what? I remember coming home from school knowing my mother would always be in the house. And there was somebody to go to if you wanted a bit of moral guidance, whatever it was. And I remember she went to town one day, and I can actually remember the day. She went to town and said she wouldn't be there when I got home. Go into Mrs. Curtis's house and she'll give you some, you know, your dinner or whatever, right? And I'll be home shortly afterwards, right? But your parents were always there. There was always a parent there. But now we have two parents working out of necessity, obviously, in the modern world. And, you know, children are coming home, 15-year-olds, to an empty house. You know, their parents are too tired when they come home from work. So I think there's a societal problem there where parents are not being the parents they should be. Maybe not due to their own fault, but I just don't think they're being the parents they used to be.
Well, I mean, the thing is, most parents will see it as their main job is to put food on the table, and if that requires the two of them to have a job, well, then that's just the economic necessity. I mean, I do think that the days of, you know, the man going out and doing the job and the mother staying at home and being the housewife and the homemaker and stuff like that, I mean, it's a nice idea for some people, you know, if you want to sort of cast your mind back to a previous Ireland, but that's just not practical anymore for most people. You know, you need most households need two incomes coming in. And society, and like the thing is, you and me are around the same age, right? Since we were growing up, I mean, things have changed. Just, it's a different country to what I saw in the 80s. You know, it's a different
Really, is it really that more dangerous? When I talk to people in the first topic about public transport, I don't use public transport, so I wouldn't be aware, but is it really that more dangerous now than it was, say, in 1975 or 1981 or whatever, you know, where kids would run around reasonably safe and come home again, you know, 5 o'clock in the evening? Is it really that much more dangerous? Are we just hearing about more stuff because of social media. So we see little videos of a guy getting kid getting beaten up, or we see videos of somebody crashing a car or somebody doing whatever. Is it really that more dangerous, or do we just know about stuff more now?
Well, I personally don't see it as being that much. Jesus Christ, I mean, you used to, you know, I'm getting the last bus home from town when we were teenagers, put the sake of your life into your hands.
The vomit comet.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, and also the thing is, before anybody starts waxing lyrical or getting romantic about the good old days, Dublin particularly was always known as a rough town.
Mm.
Dublin was always rough. And from the time I started going into town as a young fella, when I was about 14, going to gigs and stuff like that, you'd always see fights, you'd always see things breaking out. Like, I mean, Dublin was always rough. And the suburbs were always, you know, I'm from Crumlin. Crumlin was always rough, you know.
Yeah, I'm from Eadmore. So, Eadmore was a very rough place. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so you had to basically, you had to develop two skills. You either had to be able to fight or you had to be able to develop your wits. And I was never a good fighter, so I had to develop my wits.
Yeah, I was the same. I avoided it. But here's the thing. So if you grow up in these areas, you are more likely to end up in trouble, right? And that's a fair point to make, right? Because they have a higher instance of public order problems, et cetera, antisocial behavior. But people have said to me in the air, oh, Niall, you know, when you raised your kids, you know, don't tell me you knew where your 15-year-old or your 14-year-old was every day and every night. I did. And they kind of think that I'm kind of making that up or something like that, but they did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I knew exactly where my 14-year-old was. You know?
Yeah, well, I think there's something that most of your listeners, here's a little thought experiment, that for the parents now who are listening, that when those parents who are listening, when they were kids, their parents' lives were more similar to theirs than their kids are to theirs now, if you know what I mean. There's been a bigger societal change in the last 20 years than there had been in the previous 20 years. And I do feel that there's been a disconnect at some stage. And I see it from my own mates who have kids. And there just seems to be a strange disconnect there. And I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's social media or just the way, you know, but society pretty much tootled along grand for 40-odd years, and there weren't any mad changes. You know, music would change and youth trends would change and stuff. But it just seems in the last 20 years there's something different, that there's a bigger, the age gap now feels more like a chasm, and that there's a greater lack of understanding between people in their 40s and 50s and, say, their teenage kids than there would have been when the people in the 40s and 50s were teenagers themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's something. Now, I don't have kids, so, but I'm not pontificating. What I'm saying is that mates of mine who have kids say that to me when we're sitting down for a pint, and they go, a few of them just go, like, I mean, obviously they love their kids, and by and large they have a fairly good relationship with them, but there's things like social media and stuff like that, and their kids will be talking to them, and they're just talking to them about things to which the parents cannot relate, because
yeah, they're way
so
ahead of
changes.
Us. Yeah, they're way ahead of us. Unless you're one of those parents who keeps up with it, which is difficult. But okay, so Johnny is 14 years of age, and Johnny is out at night and he's robbing cars, or he's breaking windows or causing fights, and he's being brought home by the police, which is always a thing your mother used to say, never let a policeman come to my door.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, so he's being brought home by the police on a regular basis, by the guards on a regular basis. You know, and so do you find Johnny's mother and father? I mean, have we got to that point where, because realistically, that's the one thing that's going to matter to those parents if they're hit financially with a 150-quid fine because Johnny was arrested under the Public Order Act.
Yeah, but the thing is, I remember when I was a young fella, there was one lad who was just crazy, and his father had died when he was young, and his mother did her best. But now he ended up dying of a drug overdose. So, you know, he went through paths, and he went through the prison system the way other kids go through school and college.
Mm.
And he kind of ended up graduating from Mountjoy and stuff. He went off the rails completely. And he had been a nice young fella before his father died. Now, his mother did her best, but her best wasn't good enough. So would the answer have been to fine her? You know, what we need...
But if her best is not good enough, maybe the answer is to fine her. I understand what you're saying, but maybe it encourages people to try that bit harder. Because if you don't know where 14-year-old Johnny is, that's a problem. You're a parent. You should know exactly where they are.
Absolutely. Like, in an ideal world, absolutely, of course. You know, I mean, that's basic parenting 101. But the thing is, you don't live in an ideal world. And for a lot of these people that we're particularly talking about, both the parents and the children, they live in a chaotic world. You know, and you're talking about there might be sort of, you know, dependency, addiction issues, all sorts. And fundamentally what this...
But you sound like you're kind of giving them excuses, Ian. And I don't mean that.
Do you know what I mean? No, there's a difference between looking for reasons and looking for excuses.
Yeah, but it's like the lad that goes before the judge and his barrister, free legal aid, says, "Oh, Your Honour, I'm very sorry that my client robbed the car, but he's now got himself a job. He comes from a bad background, Your Honour. You know, there's poverty in his house. His mother is a drug addict." I mean, I don't want to hear excuses. You know what I mean? I mean, I think they're just excuses, because I really believe when you hit somebody financially, and if somebody is wealthier, you obviously the fine would increase. Obviously, there's no point in giving, you know, a millionaire a fine of 150 quid. That's not going to make an ounce of difference. But when you hit them with a fine that's financial, I really believe that's going to make a world of difference to how they care about how their children behave, because they're not going to want to get more fines.
Yeah, I'd actually put greater emphasis on community service, to be honest with you. And you see that in Canada and you see it in the States and stuff, where basically if somebody is done for, now not necessarily a violent offence or not an offence that would require a custodial sentence, but if they're consistently in breach of not looking after the kids and stuff like that, they're given an orange bib and they're put to, you know, clean the side of the roads. And stuff like that. I mean, we have to, you can't find your way to adjust society. And the thing about it is, and you know it and I know, and a lot of people, we don't like to come out and say it, some parents quite simply are beyond redemption. But that doesn't mean that children have to be beyond redemption as well. So the trick is to try and come up with some sort of solution that, most importantly, is the solution that will work for the kids. And it's one of the things that we see in Irish society. Anytime this debate develops and it breaks out on TV and stuff like that, you'll invariably have some social worker saying, "Oh, the kids should never be held responsible," and then you'd have some nutter saying that, "Let's flog the kids." And the thing is, we have to try and find some sort of a sensible way that, and if you have to be judgmental, be judgmental. This thing of, "Oh, you know, we can't be judgmental." Well, actually, sometimes you should be judgmental.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean you have to be a hang and flog a merchant and say that they're all little shits and they all need to go to Hoberstown.
Well, there's clearly a problem when we're seeing an increase, you know, in the amount. Mind you, when I say an increase, The headline is a bit alarming in over a decade. So that means 10 years ago was the same number. And the population has increased exponentially in the last 10 years. So then it's not as big as a problem as we might think it is. But then again, maybe not every one of them is being recorded. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think that the best indicator of how society is going is just to listen to people about the area that they live in.
Yeah.
You know, because figures and reports can be massaged, as you know, and I know all too well. I mean, working in our industry, you can give any NGO or any, you know, group, you can commission to do something, and they can pretty much massage the stuff.
Oh, yeah, they can say whatever they want to say.
Yeah, you know, so basically the best evidence and the best testimony actually comes from the people who live in the areas that are particularly involved. And because they're the experts, because they're actually experiencing it, they're not doing it as a survey kind of thing, you know. But I know, I mean, there's people now who say that they find Dublin is kind of rougher than it has been, you know, and that there's...
That seems to be the general consensus, because I talk to people on a regular basis on different type of topics in relation to crime and everything else, and the general consensus is that people feel that they don't feel, or people say they don't feel as safe anymore in Dublin. By the way, all across the country, but particularly Dublin.
Yeah, and I've noticed, and maybe it's just me getting a bit older and getting a bit more squirrely when I'm out, but I've noticed in certain parts of the city centre, at night time there's a bit more of an edge than there used to be, you know. But that's always been the way in Dublin. It's always been a kind of a cyclical thing. And look, you know, I mean, you grew up here, like anybody who grew up here knows that. I mean, there were always parts of the city centre that you really put your...
Yeah.
You know, and if you had to go down there, you know, you put your guard up, and if you were listening to Walkman or whatever, you took your headphones off and you paid attention to what was going around you. You know what I mean? But maybe it's the likes of yourself, or just getting that bit older, getting that bit more wary or whatever. But there is a sense that there's a kind of a nasty edge in the air, I find, in town a lot of the time these days.
No, I don't disagree with you. And listen, Ian, it's been a pleasure once again to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed.
Nice to have me on. Cheers.
Ian O'Doherty, journalist of the Irish Independent. Thank you very much indeed. Now, let me go to some of our callers as well. Let me go to John. John, hi, how are you?
Hi, just before I start there, if anyone is interested there, you can Google it there. You do as a citizen have the power of arrest.
Now, let's be clear about how that works, right? And this is just going back to the previous topic, obviously. The power of arrest, you can make a citizen's arrest, but you have to be very careful when you make it. Because if a guard arrests you tomorrow on a suspicion of a crime, he's allowed to do that. But you cannot make a citizen's arrest on suspicion of a crime. You have to be 100% sure somebody has done something wrong. Because if you detain somebody against their will, that is a crime.
Yeah, well, under the Criminal Justice 1987, you can detain the person, but you must promptly hand them over to the Gardaí.
Yeah, but if that person has done nothing wrong, they can then later sue you.
Because you know
these guys who you go around chasing paedophiles, and you see them. They will always say things like, you know, you're free to walk away now, but we would advise you for your own safety to stay here. And they'll always have a few henchmen hanging around to make sure they don't actually leave. But they're very careful the way they word it, because they're technically not allowed to detain people. You're not actually allowed to detain somebody.
Some of those guys, you can see, they actually do hold on physically to the person, you know, because sometimes...
And I spoke to one of them, Justice, for something. I spoke to them on the air going back some time ago. And they did appreciate when I said, you know, you take a huge risk when you're detaining somebody against their wishes. And they said, oh, you know that. Mm-hmm. But we're very sure most of them are all guilty.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to the topic at hand. John, would it matter? I mean, Ian O'Doherty reckons that it probably wouldn't work to fine parents, because some parents just wouldn't have the money, firstly, and it's not going to make an ounce of difference to how their children are going to behave. So,
you won't have the money if such a system was brought in, because you will find when you'll go for your social welfare, if there's an attachment to it, because your son or daughter is involved in antisocial behaviour and has been more than once, you will find, I mean, that the money that was paid into the post office or whoever you collect it, I mean, is down with, say, €100 or whatever. Nothing focuses the mind more in life than when you put your hand into your pocket and you haven't the money, the physical money, or you haven't you have a card and the card is blank. You won't be long focusing then. How do I spend my money? How do I waste my money? Same story here. You find out there's a big chunk of your salary, children's allowance, whatever, and it's been taken because you are not being the parent. I don't give a care whether you're a one-parent family or not. There was people brought up 14 and 15 kids in this country, and they were honest to God. How they done it is beyond me. But none of the majority of those kids never ended up in front of a judge, because there was a moral code in the family. There was more of a moral code in society as well, but the fellow next door would kick you up the hole if you saw you'd done something wrong, and then your father would kick you up the hole because the man next door kicked you up the hole. You know? So, I mean,
there's a lot of kicking up holes going on here, isn't there? Yes.
Well, there isn't, because look, I mean, society girls before, I mean, like, it was a buddy of mine, was over in Poland, he travels there a lot, and he said, like, the guys and the bouncers at the door there, you don't miss them in the nightclubs, and they call the cops, and if they give a few slaps, the cops give them kick them up the hole and into the paddy wagon, and off you go.
But I remember working in the nightclubs years ago, and that was the case. If you messed around or caused a fight in the place, or you weren't getting in and you start causing problems outside, the doorman would knock your head in, and then they call the police and they'd knock your head in as well, right? But those days are kind of gone. You know what I mean?
We don't
do that. I mean, okay, they might do it in some countries, but we don't do that kind of behaviour anymore.
No, we don't, but the trouble is that there seems to be no deterrence. No, like, I mean, when you have little shits out there, they're out all night. I mean, so therefore, like, I mean, why are they out all night? Why aren't the parents finding you? Why aren't they inside in their bedroom?
This is what I don't understand. How, like, that event that I was at, or that feud between the two estates, where I saw the 10-year-old with a Molotov cocktail, right? That was at 10 o'clock at night. I was doing a report for a radio station at the time. How do they not know their 10-year-old is outside at night? There must be a mother or father or somebody at home. So how do they not know?
There's a couple of cases now. I won't mention any names, but it's years ago now. Like, but there's two young lads now I watched grow up and in the city. And they're both dead now. One was murdered, and the other guy just died of a drug overdose, right? But I knew them when they were small kids. They were way younger than me, and they were beautiful kids. If they'd only got a chance, But down to the parents again, the parents effed up big time. There was fierce violence in the house and everything, with mothers getting beat around the place and all. And if you grow up in an environment like that, you will only turn over one way, violence as well. You'll meet me in the street and you'll take the violence out on me. But so, I mean, I think there should be early intervention. And look, I'm reluctant as regards the state taking kids away, but there have to be some kind of a system they put in place for kids for their own sake, you know, that they don't turn out like the two lads I just mentioned did years before their time, that they're taken somewhere and educated and looked after, not these Boston type setups now, but for somewhere to give the kids a chance to get them away from that toxic environment, because you, if you're a toxic parent, you don't deserve a child.
And I completely agree with you. Do me a favour, stay there for a second, John, if you can. I want to come to Alan and Karen, but I've got to take a quick short break.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.